Maybe it's a death of a loved one. Maybe it's a serious injury or accident or sickness or near-death experience, and you spend time in the hospital and you really start to get to know somebody in a personal way, or maybe just personal problems and needs. And I think it does change the dynamic of your relationship with that person or family. I've just come to find that out. And it's not that you hope for those things in people's lives. You certainly don't wish that upon anybody. But the one thing that you can get from that is that it does for the better, strengthen your relationship with those people. And of course, I believe that happens with the Lord if you allow it to happen. Now, I have seen it go the other way, where people get bitter against the Lord or get bitter against people or bitter against the church, and things like that can happen. But let's go ahead and take our Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Go ahead and remain seated. We're going to read several scriptures this morning, or should say here in Daniel chapter 3. And we'll start reading in verse 13, Daniel 3, starting in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the time when ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." Verse 25, and he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Lord, we're thankful again for today, and Father, we just pray that you'd help us for these next few moments, Lord, as we take this scripture that you've laid upon our heart. I pray that it would challenge our hearts. I pray if there's one here today that's never been saved, that you convict them of their need for salvation. Father, I pray that we would be encouraged and strengthened by everything said and done. I pray that you would remove us out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thousands of Tasmanian devils have died from a rare type of cancer, devil facial tumor disease. Scientists discovered that the cancer begins in the mouth of a single devil and spreads throughout the bites of that devil. Tasmanian devils bite each other around the mouth very frequently, and this cancer spreads throughout those bites. Over the course of several years, over 40% of the Tasmanian devil population has died because of this cancer. Now, here's a thought we're going to get to in a second. Christians can tear each other down with unbridled tongues, and would be wise to obey the warning of Galatians 5, 16, and 17. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We're going to read today, or look in our story today, that we're going to see two really different ways of speaking from the king and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and in the matter they spoke. And what I want to point out is that one of the things we're going to emphasize is the king himself, Nebuchadnezzar, spoke out of anger. How many of you have said some things before out of anger that you almost instantly regretted? I guess a couple of you have. Am I the only one, right? I think probably all of us have been there, friends, right? We have spoke out of anger. We have bitten and devoured our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We have bitten and devoured our loved ones, our spouses. And boy, how many times even among spouses have we said something and realized, well, that was not the right thing to say. That was not the right thing to say. And we're going to look here in just a second where Nebuchadnezzar ended up saying some things that he took back, right? Who is this God that shall deliver you out of my hand, right? A pretty boastful and arrogant position to be in, to speak about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then we'll see later on that he actually, I believe, showed some regret and actually changed his tune a little bit, right? So what we're looking at today, folks, we're going to look at really four things in this story, and even in the way that they spoke and the way that they responded, that really helps you when you're actually in the fire or facing things in your life that are difficult to deal with. But first, we're looking at this idea again, meeting God in the fire. The first thing I want you to notice in what we read is the commotion that's going on. Now, when we say the commotion, friend, we're talking about there's a lot, I think, of an uproar in the kingdom. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, has basically made a law. When you hear the music, you got to bow down and worship my image, right? This is what's going on. This is, I believe, an uproar in the country, and everybody apparently was following that command except for these Hebrew children, and I would say probably Daniel was included in that as well. But there's a lot of commotion going on. When I started to read these things and study this out, church, can I share something with you? If you haven't figured it out yet, there's a lot of commotion going on in the world today. There's a lot of uproar going on in the world today. And there's a lot of things being introduced to us that we have not seen before. There's a lot of things that are being pushed that we have not seen pushed before. And I'm just telling you, I just don't buy it all. I just don't believe it all. I'm not trying to talk about things that are not real or real. I'm just telling you there's a lot of uproar and there's a lot of commotion no matter where you stand on certain things. We are seeing things pushed today that we have not seen pushed before. You can agree or not, church, but I believe it's a direct attack on our freedom as Americans, right? It's not going to get any better. It's going to only get worse. And so we as Christians better go ahead and figure out now amongst the commotion that we see in the world where we are going to stand, right? We better go ahead and make that decision now. I personally believe that part of the reason that these three Hebrew children took the position that they did was when you look in the first chapter, you'll see in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. If you read on into that chapter, you'll find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were a part of that as well. You see what happened is that in the midst of the commotion, they had already purposed and decided where they're going to stand. Hey, when there's commotion going along in the world, when there's an uproar of things and things seem out of control, go ahead and decide now. Don't wait until you're faced with a decision, friend. I believe that they had already decided that. They had already made that decision in their own lives. And then when they were faced with a problem, when they were faced with something that was being mandated, you do understand that this was a mandate by King Nebuchadnezzar, right? The mandate was, hey, you hear the music, you bow down and worship my image. The mandate was, this is a diet that I'm putting you on, but yet it went contrary to what God wanted them to do. But they had already purposed and they had already made the decision that it doesn't matter what's going on, we know where we're going to stand and we're still going to honor God. What am I saying to you, church? I'm saying there's a lot of commotion going on. There's mandates that we're hearing. Better go ahead and decide where you're going to stand spiritually speaking. I'm not even necessarily talking about medically. I'm not going to go into all that right now. I'm saying, spiritually speaking, you better decide where you're going to stand. Hey, this happened a little bit later on too in Daniel over, I believe, chapter 5, chapter 6, where they ordered Daniel not to pray. Do you remember that? They said, hey, you can't pray to anybody else except it be to the king's gods or the king himself or whatever the case may be. You don't pray to anybody else. Do you remember how Daniel handled that mandate, dear friends? He went and opened up his windows and prayed just like he did before. He didn't change his belief. He didn't change his position. He didn't change his practice because of a new mandate. Amen. Are you with me today, Christians? Do we believe that it's better to obey God rather than men? Hey, listen, I got no problems, church. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be a maverick. I got no problems obeying the law of the land. But when it starts to go contrary to the Word of God, and it starts to go contrary to what the Bible tells me how I ought to be, that's when we're going to have a problem. Amen. That's when we got to decide which mandate we're more concerned about, a mandate that God, that people gives, or a mandate that God has already given a long time ago. So we see these concepts, friend, has been going on for a long time. This was a couple of mandates, two or three mandates. We're talking about a diet mandate. We're talking about, hey, you got to worship this image mandate. We're talking about you can't pray mandate. These mandates, we've seen these kind of things happen with government for a long time. But what we do have is some young men right here that weren't afraid to take a stand. In the midst of the commotion, they were not afraid to take a stand. So the first thing that we need to remember, friend, is decide in the midst of commotion where you're going to stand. Now, part of this is the king here is hearing this. This news has been brought to Nebuchadnezzar, say, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, we got a problem. We got three Hebrew children who don't want to obey your mandate. We got three of them that just are not going to bow down. Obviously, this made the king upset. I mean, we're living in a time and a day, we're speaking about a time and a day where you do not go contrary to the king's word or it gets you killed. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what position you hold. It was a complete dictatorship. You must obey at all costs. Now we've got three Hebrew children. The king's not too happy about it. He's in an uproar about it. So first we see the commotion of what's going on, the uproar, if you will, and the decision by three Hebrew children that they already determined that they were going to honor God no matter what. Let's look at just a second on their devotion. I believe that commotion will expose your devotion. Let me say that again. In the midst of commotion, it will expose your devotion. So when the uproar comes, when the trials come, when the mandates come, it is going to expose your devotion. I truly believe, Christian, that that's how you find out what somebody's character is really made of, is during the time of adversity, during the times of trial, during the times where your faith is being tested, that's when you really know someone's character. I believe their character was already shaped when they said they purposed in their heart. They had already devoted their life to the Lord. They had already made that decision. That was already within the character that they had. But this kind of problems only expose our devotion. So friend, what's going to happen when the commotion comes your way? What's going to happen when the problems come your way? What kind of devotion are you going to show to the Lord? So we see that the commotion exposes people's devotion. Now, let's look for just a second. We just read that scripture. We know whether they were already going to stand, but watch what happens here as the king confronts them. Now, I can imagine, church, this king being as boastful as he was, how dare they disobey me, right? Are you with me? How dare they go against my word? How dare they not obey me? I have spoken. I'll tell you what, right now, bring them before me. I'm going to fix this right now. I really believe that the king thought with his power and with his intimidation that he was going to coerce those young men into bowing down to his image when the music started as he wished. That's what he thought, right? But he didn't realize and understand the devotion that they had towards God. And as we go on here, it says in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Almost like I'm not really believing this. There's no way somebody's going to go against my word. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? You know what I think the king is probably thinking in this moment? I got to hear this for myself. There's no way There's no way these three, who do these guys think they are? Is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Has my ears deceived me? Is this true? You're not going to bow, you're not going to worship the image or the gods that I have set up. Verse number 15, before they even responded, he gives them instructions. Let me remind you what my mandate, here it is. Now if you be ready at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, that last statement in that verse helps me to understand that the king already knew that these boys were devoted to honoring God. He's given them a reminder, look, this is what's going to happen. And in this God that you say that you serve, this God that you've been going around proclaiming that you believe in, he's going to come by and deliver you. Watch what I'm going to do. Be careful, by the way, to have that Nebuchadnezzar spirit, because here we are, it's kind of an example of what we opened up with. Nebuchadnezzar speaking things that he regrets later on. He's saying things that he ought not be saying. It's a dangerous place to say or to think that I am mightier than God. And essentially by him saying, I'm going to bind you, I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace, and God's not going to be able to deliver. He didn't believe God was going to do that. God can't deliver you out of that. I am more powerful than what your God is going to be able to do. Boy, he had another thing coming, didn't he? Well, he was wrong about that. And we'll see that he regretted his words into speaking at this moment. But he underestimated, again, their devotion. Notice their response. Verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Did we read that right, church? It says that they are not careful. You know, it seemed to me that they weren't really worried about offending the king or not. You know, sometimes when you speak before the king, you say, well, you know, go ahead and practice your faith, but be careful what you say. It might get you in some legal trouble. That's kind of the world we're living in today, isn't it? I mean, this world we're living in today, what's this new thing called cancel culture? Hey, listen, go ahead and cancel me out, amen? Because I'd rather be biblically correct than politically correct, okay? Amen. Everybody okay with that? I'd rather be right according to the Word of God than right what people think ought to be, amen? I'm not trying to be mean and ugly. I don't purposely go around offending people. In fact, something I heard a long time ago, that if you like to offend people, you shouldn't preach. I mean, if that's your goal, you shouldn't preach. But if you're afraid to offend people, you shouldn't preach. Do you understand the difference there? But you, they weren't too afraid to offend the king. I don't think it was their goal, but they were. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I mean, today we're living in a day we're so afraid to even speak the truth. Amen. We're so afraid to speak the truth. But yet the Apostle Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Nothing wrong with speaking the truth, friend. I do believe that God wants us to be concerned with our spirit and our attitude and the manner and how we speak. I mean, in fact, it talks about in Galatians 6:1, you which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, right? So the Bible is clear that we should be careful in how we speak, but it's also clear that we should go ahead and speak the truth anyway. Amen? I believe that's one of the hardest languages to speak today is simply the truth. Would you agree today? But here they were going to go ahead and exercise and show their devotion not to a king, not to a country, not to a land, not to who they thought was their safety or protection, but to Almighty God. They said in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve, notice what they say, church, is able to deliver us. Now at this point, it's not that they didn't think that God couldn't do it. It's they just weren't sure that God wanted to do it. They said God's able, right? I know that he can. But at this point, they're probably under the understanding that they could be martyred for the cause of Christ. They could be martyred for their position and decision to not obey the mandate. They could be martyred for their decision to not worship and bow down before anything except God Almighty. Okay? So it says, our God is able. We know that God can do whatever he wants. Now, as we read on in the story, you see that the Nebuchadnezzar ordered these men, his mightiest men, to bind them up and heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than normal and then throw them into the fire, right? Do you believe that God could have stopped the king's mouth before he even gave the mandate? Before he gave, does God have that ability? Okay, just a few chapters later, he closed up a lion's mouth, didn't he? Come on, that's a lion. How come he couldn't close up a king's mouth? Of course God could do that if that's what he wanted. He could have said that. They're saying our God is able. He may not want to. It may be his will for us to be a martyr for the cause of Christ. It may be his will for us to just be an example of somebody who's not going to give in, and if we perish for the glory of God, then praise God. That was their heart, friend. That was their devotion to God. That's how much devotion they had, that they were willing to lay down their lives. Now, people say all the time, well, I believe the Bible, I'll die for the Bible, then why don't you even live for the Bible? You say you die for it, then how about live for it now? Right? But this is the devotion that they had, church. They were saying, hey, God's able. He may not want to, but we know that he can. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, I do find it interesting. They said he may not deliver us out of the furnace, but he is going to deliver us out of thy hand. Do you know why they said that? Because they're winners either way. They were going to be loosed either way. Either God was going to come in there and loose them and deliver them out of the furnace, or God was going to take them home to glory. Either way, they were delivered out of the king's power and control. In other words, hey, this circumstance, God may choose for us to endure this problem. God may choose for us to go through this fire. But king, you actually have no power over us, so God's going to deliver us from you either way. Did you catch that, friends? God may choose for you to go through that fire. God may choose for you to go through that trial, that problem, that circle. He may go through it. He'll take you right there. But either way, you're a winner no matter what the result is. Amen. Even if somebody gets a sickness, and listen, I hope and I pray. Hey, but you're a winner either way. If God heals you, then God has blessed you. If God takes you on to glory and takes you home with him, friend, God has blessed you, and I believe that they understood a simple principle that, hey, God's going to deliver no matter what. We may be going through the fire a little bit, but God's going to deliver no matter what happens. Amen. I don't know, that's getting me excited, church. Amen. Does that help any of you? That does something for me. But they were devoted. They had their devotion was exposed in the midst of commotion. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us from thine hand, O king. And here it is, verse 18. Notice these next three words. But if not, you know what, king? Even if God chooses not to deliver us out of this fire, even if God chooses for us to perish in this fire, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. King, I'm sorry, we just cannot. This is a mandate we cannot obey. This goes against what I believe. This goes against what God has told me to do. I cannot bow down and worship anything except God himself. Amen. I'm sorry, King. This is one. If we have to die in order to live this belief and to honor God, then so be it. Amen. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not bow down. We will not serve any other gods except the Lord. You see, friend, in the midst of commotion, it exposes your devotion. That's right. And these three Hebrew children, friend, they were devoted to the Lord. Verse number 19. So, in the midst of commotion, it exposes devotion, and it also shows your emotion. You see, there's different kinds of emotions, I believe, that's getting ready to be exposed here. Look at verse number 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of what? Fury. And the form of his visage was changed. In other words, he was extremely angry, and not just that, he was visibly angry. I can imagine that maybe his face started to get red. You ever seen somebody, boy, they get mad, and boy, their face starts to turn red, right? I mean, they start to, boy, man, you know, people express different ways, different things. Me, if I get so upset, I just have to quit talking. I can't speak. I just have to quit. So, you know, that's me. But you can tell, you know, husbands and wives, you probably know when your spouse is upset. He was visibly angry. Now the king is starting to react out of emotion. You know what we need to learn, Christians? We need to learn to act instead of react.
Amen.
Because what we see here is we see three Hebrew children who learned how to act, and we see a king who just reacted. He let his emotions get the best of him. I'm the king. Nobody disobeys me. I tell you what I'm going to do now. You think you're something? Look, watch what I'm going to do. Look what he says. Full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. I'll show you. I'm going to show you who's boss around here. I'm going to show you who's king as he beats his chest. Right? You see, the king is reacting. He's responding at him. Can I help you a little bit, friend? Do not make major decisions when you're emotionally distraught. Don't do it. You will regret them, I promise you that. I'm talking about not just things out of anger, but even things out of extreme sadness or depression, or even sometimes even in happiness. You know, you're just so happy with everybody, you're going to donate your whole salary for the year. To help a cause. And though that sounds noble, you still got to take care of your family, don't you? So you may not realistically be able to donate your whole salary for the year. I've seen people do that. They overcommit when they're overzealous and overjoyous. They say things and do things out of anger when they're mad that they regret, or out of sadness make just bad decisions. No matter what the emotion is, friend, when you're emotionally distraught, that is not the time. That is not the time. Hey, listen, you know what? I don't think that you ought to resign your job when you're angry. That's just me. Because probably you made that decision out of anger. Somebody said something to you. You got mad. The boss said something. Maybe they did disrespect you. Maybe they did not show the proper appreciation for you and you walked out. Friend, what you did was you reacted out of emotion. Now, if God's opening another door for you, if God's moving you on, that's one thing. But you know what Christians do? Christians take the time to pray and seek the Lord and say, Lord, is this what you want? Right? Is this what you want, God? Because if I just walk out of my job, all I did was act just like King Nebuchadnezzar. I reacted out of emotion. Right? Now, I don't know if you have done that. Sure enough, I say something like that and say, Pastor, how'd you know I walked out on a job? I have no idea whether you have or not, friend. Okay? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I'm just giving you an example, right? I'm just telling you something, right? I have never resigned a job without the Lord having another door open, never. I got laid off one time. One time I was laid off. I went in the office and how many layoffs we have? And they said, just one. I said, okay, let's get it done. Some of y'all didn't get that, amen. Just one layoff? Okay, slow train. No, they did do a lot of layoffs. That company doesn't even exist today. But my point is, friend, even though there's been times said, even things that personally offended me. Hey, friend, I'm just saying, it's just a simple principle. As Christians, we need to learn to react, how to act, not react. And that's what the king is doing. Hey, look, I'll show you what I'm going to do. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 20, and to cast them in the burning fire furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their garments, other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fire furnace. So obviously they understood the heat. They understood the king's order, so they put on their fireman's suit to get them thrown into the fire. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, an emotional decision, and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, the fire was so hot that it killed those mighty men, even in their fire suits, that were just throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. Just standing outside of the furnace, that's how hot it was. Ever been at a campfire or something, and boy, you know, well, that's a big fire. You can feel it. Your senses are saying, okay, don't get any closer than this, right? You're not actually even in the fire. You're just feeling the heat from the fire. Now, I like a good campfire. I enjoy it. I love it. But you know, your body tells you, hey, that's close enough. Do not get any closer. Sometimes I think my wife has lost that. It seems like she wants to be right up in it because she wants to be warm and all that. I'm like, if you get any closer, you're going to fall, and then I don't know what we're going to do, right? So anyhow, your senses tell you how close they could get. Well, this is how close they got. It was that hot that it actually consumed them. In verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire furnace? You know what he's doing? He's probably second-guessing himself. He's thinking, wait a second here. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. 1, 2, 3. Good job, king. You can count to three. Right? He's saying, wait a minute, am I missing something? He goes to his counselors, right? You know, counselors is a trusted advisor. Did I miss something here, fellas? I thought we threw three of them in there. Yeah, that's true, O king. That's what we did. We threw three in there. We got a problem then. They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Verse 25, and he answered and said, I see four men loose. We threw in three, now there's four. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Do you know what just happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They just had an encounter with God. They just met God in the fire. They put their faith and their trust and their devotion into the Lord, and God seen them through. They met the Lord in a more personal way than they had ever experienced before. In fact, the Bible tells us that when they were cast in, they were bound in the midst of the fire furnace. They had been tied up when they were tossed in. But yet the king said, not only did I know we threw in three, but I see four men loose. You do realize, friend, that sometimes when you're living in bondage, are you with me? And you allow God to work in the fire and you meet God in the fire, that's the time where God actually loosens you up, is in the middle of the fire. That's the time where you actually have more liberty in your relationship and your growth as a Christian. It seems to me that when you meet God in the fire, when you put your faith, trust, and devotion to Him, you experience God in a more personal way. See, that's what's happening here because of the devotion of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now let's read on. Not only are they loose, but the Bible says they have no hurt. Or as describes, they have no hurt. In other words, I don't see them suffering. I don't see them in anguish. I don't see them in pain. I mean, the fire is obviously real. It killed those mighty men that were just on the edge of the fire. But now here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of the fire. I thought we tied them up. They're loose. They're walking around. Seem like they're having a good time for some reason. Something's wrong. They have no hurt, and the former of the fourth is like the Son of God. I always wondered, how did he know who the Son of God, what the Son of God looked like? I believe he felt the presence of God. I believe he could tell. I believe that he could tell that there was something special going on here, even though he didn't quite understand it. I mean, the Bible says that he was astonished. And you know, friend, when you're able to meet God in the fire and you're able to experience a more personal, intimate relationship with God, it does astonish people who don't understand. They realize that there's something special about you. They realize that you have the hand of God on you. They realize you have the protection of God upon you. Friend, but you can't do that unless you are willing to be devoted and sacrifice and give everything you have to the Lord. So no matter what fire you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, friend, we need to learn to be more like these young men here, because they had a devotion to the Lord. They didn't act out of emotion. They didn't stand up and say, you know what, we better go ahead and bow. I believe this king is serious about throwing us in that fire. God will understand. You know, that's, for the record, a lot of times how the devil will use to justify certain things in our lives. Well, God will understand. Well, God will forgive me. Friend, let me remind you, the scripture says in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is, God forbid. God forbid. And I believe this is what gets us in trouble a lot of times, Christians. Oh, God will forgive me. Oh, God will understand. Oh, you know, God knew that if we didn't bow, that we would have died in this fire. That wasn't even a hint of that. There wasn't a hint of that kind of doubt. They had already made the decision. Look, if God wants to deliver us out of this fire, He'll do it. And if He don't, we're still not bowing. We're still not giving in. We're still going to do what's right, even if it costs us our lives. That's the kind of devotion that these young men had. They didn't act out of emotion. They didn't let their emotion overwhelm them. You know what else happens when we let our emotions take control? Frankly, church, we start to get very selfish. Well, this is what's best for me. Do you know how many families I've been seen torn apart? Do you know how many lives we've seen ruined because they felt like that was what's best for them? How about what's best for what God wants in your life? How about what's best according to the Bible? Well, Pastor, it's not easy. I never once said it was easy. Did you hear me say that it was easy? But I am telling you that it's right. When you live according to the Word of God, when you live how God wants you to live, I never said that it was going to be. Friend, I'm not even telling you that it's easy to do everything that these young men did. But it was the right thing to do, even if it wasn't the easy thing to do. Friend, we got to be careful about following our feelings and emotions, because you know what? Our feelings and emotions are wrong all the time. So, as we read on here, we've talked this morning about the commotion that exposed emotion. There was a reaction from the king out of emotion. But then we've seen these three young men's promotion. And I don't mean just within the kingdom. I believe spiritually. I believe that God blessed them. Let's see what happens. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Did he say servants of the Most High God? I just wondered if you caught that as well. Let's read on. It gets better. And the princes and governors and captains of the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was a hair of their hair singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Now, before I read on, I'll tell you something. When I first started, got my own grill, my own charcoal grill, I used to think it was funny to play with fire. I don't do that anymore. I remember one time I had soaked these charcoals with that lighter fluid. I mean, soaked them. I didn't know how much you're supposed to put in. I think I put half the bottle in there. I mean, you put a few. You guys already know where this is going. I think I've learned how you just squirt a little bit in there and then just give it light and let it burn, you know, the way it's supposed to. But for some reason, I thought it was a good idea. One of these charcoals need light. I need them to burn, you know. Let's put half this bottle. I done that. My brother-in-law was standing behind it. And that's another thing. I make sure that there's everybody stand clear, right? I soak these charcoals with that lighter fluid, and he's standing behind the grill. And I lit that thing. That thing went and he had his arms right there. It burnt the hairs off of his arms. He was that close to it. It singed them. I mean, literally. The Bible says right here that they, in verse 27, nor was the hair of their head singed. It singed the hairs on his arms. I mean, it didn't burn his skin, thankfully, but it singed them. You know what else I've come to find out? On Thanksgiving, I smoked a ham. I said I smoked a ham. Everybody, this is a Baptist church, right? Okay, I just was making sure. But you know what I come to find out when I was smoking that ham? You know what happened to my garments? Smelled like smoke. So before it was eating time, before we had our guests over, I went and changed because I didn't want to walk around smelling like smoke. And I wasn't actually even in the fire, right? I was just enough to rotate my ham and check my temperature and adjust my, you know, how much air is getting in there, you know, so I want it to be at the right place and all that good stuff. That was just from being close to it. And I smelled like smoke. I think even my wife said, "You smell like smoke," right? You know, and I did. I smelled like smoke. The Bible says that they didn't even, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. So, in other words, that fire had zero effect on them. It didn't hurt them. It didn't singe any hairs on their head, their garments. If you put a garment out in the heat or direct heat, it starts to fade. Their garments weren't faded. They didn't smell like they'd even been in the fire. The king had no power over him. The only result was that they met God and experienced God in a personal way, and God loosed them out of the problem that they were having. Are you with me? In verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." Even the king recognized that they trusted God. A wicked, wicked king could recognize that there was three young men here that trusted God and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. You know what he's saying is that I recognize here that God has delivered his servants. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. Talking about those whose name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life. Friend, that's a fire that God won't walk with you in. It'll be too late. You know, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, everybody will do that eventually, but you better do it now. Because if you wait till then, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. And friend, I'm simply talking about a real place called hell. You do realize that Jesus preached and taught more on hell than he did even about heaven. You know, everybody wants to believe in heaven. But the reality is, if there's a heaven, there's a hell. Seemed like to me the Lord was really trying to warn us about that place. I'm telling you, friend, that's a fire that God won't walk with you in. If you're here today and never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you better go ahead and receive Him today while you still can, while you still have an opportunity, while God's speaking to your heart about it. Receive Him today. Would you stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed? Whatever your need is, I hope and pray that God spoke to your heart. Maybe you're facing some of these trials, these fires, and you just realize that you need to have a strong devotion towards the things of God. It's not going to deter your faith. You're going to put your faith and trust in God. your devotion in the Lord. And if that's you today, you need to come and make a fresh commitment to the Lord. Won't you come to the altar? Won't you bow where you are? Whatever that need may be, I pray that you give it to the Lord. But friend, don't go back on your commitment to the Lord. Don't get bitter against God. You can allow it to push you away, or you can meet the Lord in the fire and draw closer to Him. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I know about that place. You spoke about that place called hell. Lord, I don't want to go there. Preacher, I don't want to go there. If there's anyone here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die, and I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I've ever been saved. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Anybody at all? Would you slip up your hand and put it back down? We want to pray for you. We're concerned about your soul, dear friend. I'm not as much trying to scare you as much as speak the truth, but I realize sometimes the truth is scary. But if you're here today, friend, and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we want to try to help you today. We want to pray for you, and we want to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Anybody at all? Don't be embarrassed. Anybody at all? I assure you, you'll get nothing but love and support from this church. We'll rejoice with you for your decision to receive Christ. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I feel like I've been going through the fire. Maybe I've deterred on my faith. I've wavered a little bit. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me that God will use this to draw me closer to Him? Slip up your hand and put it back down. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see that hand. Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Anybody else, slip up your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. You know I don't do that. That's not my goal. I want to pray for you. I want to help you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else before we pray? Pray for me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful again, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house. Lord, thank you, Lord, for, God, the unique privileges that you draw us closer to you when we meet you in the midst of the fire. God, we know that you're trying to do something special in our lives. We know that, Lord, you're still working in our lives. Father, several lifted their hands and said they want to have a closer devotion towards you, or maybe their faith has been shaken, or maybe they've wavered. But either way, Lord, they want to know you in a more personal way. God, you know who they are and you know what the need is. I pray that you'd help them. I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. God, I pray that you do a work that only you can. I pray that you'd strengthen their faith. Help them to realize, Lord, that you're still in control. And God, we have a greater duty to obey you rather than men. I pray that you bless them for that. Lord, maybe there's someone listening via live stream that's never trusted in you as their personal Savior. I pray that you help them to realize today is the day of salvation. Lord, we thank you for what you've done today. We give you the glory for everything said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Hope to see you back tonight at 5 o'clock. Have a good afternoon.